from the book of Luke.
Yes, God.
I won't be with you long, but God will show up and he might be here all day.
All right. Yes.
And I love this parable right here. And we're going to start at verse 10. He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Uh-huh.
Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Uh-huh.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Y'all get that? This morning, when I get back up after the choir sang, I'm going to be telling y'all how exciting it is to remember the word of God. God's got a blessing with your name on it.
Yes, he does.
All you got to do is ask for it. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. So I ask for your blessing with your name on it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
And believe me, he will give it to you. Trust and believe that he will give it to you. He has given me so many things and so much stuff. So many doors have been opened. Sometimes, some of them I try to keep them closed.
That's right.
God will have you working it yourself to death. God is good, church. What you got to do, you got to be excited about him. See, I'm excited about God, church. See, I hate somebody that says there's a Christian, then they all down and pole mouth and this and that. They're not excited about the word of God. See, I'm excited about the word of God, church. See, when somebody get around me and they want to talk about Jesus, I get excited with them, church. See, something just go all over me, church, and on inside and outside. I get excited about the word of God, church. See, when I read the scriptures and listen to his promise and what he tells us and what he's going to do for us, I just stay excited all the time about the word of God, church. When my enemies hit me on my right and my enemies hit me on my left, from the back and front, I don't care. I stay excited about the word of God, church. You see, when you read this chapter 8 of Luke here, it start out in parables where the sower sows seeds. But you got to read further on in that chapter right there, because God does a whole lot of things in chapter 8 of Luke. And it reminds you of who you serve, the God you serve, and the promises that he has for you. Because when you read chapter 8 of Luke, if he did it here, he'll do it again. If he did it for these people, I know he'll do it for me. He don't even call these people names in this chapter, to some of the stuff that he did in here. See, first of all, in this chapter, church, he was on a ship after he did this parable. They was on a ship, and the ship started rocking and tearing from side to side. The water started raging, and they would not cease. And all of a sudden, the disciples went in there and had to wake up Jesus. Jesus was in there asleep, you know, getting his sleep on, you know. And the disciples went in there and woke him up in the midst of a storm. This man in there asleep. You know, but all the rest of them 12 boys out there, they nervous and crying and weeping. And what we going to do? The ship about to turn over. Yeah. What we going to do? Go wake up Jesus.
Yeah.
So they went in there and woke Jesus up. And this is what they did. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. There was a calm. Verse 25 said, and he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they've been afraid, wondering, and saying one to another, "What man is this that he can tell the waters and the winds to stop? What man is this?" I get excited when I think about that. Because when storms start rocking in my life and things start going wrong with my life, I know I can call on Jesus and everything will be all right. Hey, when they start putting me down and kicking me out and I don't get this and I don't get that, you know I can just call on Jesus, because I know what my faith is. My faith lies in him. I don't want him to ask me that question he asked those disciples. Where is your faith? See, we got to get excited about that, church, because we got to remember that if he did it then, he'll do it now. He's the same what? Yesterday as he is today. The same God yesterday as he is right now. He's the what? Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. You better be excited about that. See, when the doctors tell you something, say, "Oh, okay, my God got it. It's all under control." I'm excited about what God can do. Now, see, you got to keep on reading in this chapter right here, because, see, he did some more miracles in this chapter of Luke chapter 8. See, all you got to do is remember Luke chapter 8. If you can't remember nothing else in the Bible, remember Luke chapter 8, because he did a whole lot of things in Luke chapter 8. And, you know, a lot of people preach out of Luke chapter 8, but you got to tell people, listen, that's something that you can live on.
That's right.
Because he went on, and he went on after he did that, church. This is what else he did. He got to a city, and he got out of the boat. There was a man there, possessed, demon-possessed. Now, this man didn't have one demon in him. This man had legion. And the legion is many demons was in this man. You know, this man could have, let's bring it to the day. This man could have been a crackhead.
Uh-huh.
This man could have been an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
This man could have been adulterous.
Uh-huh.
This man could have been a whoremonger.
Uh-huh.
This man could have been a murderer.
Right.
This man could have been a robber. See, all them demons was inside him. See, when you got more than one demon in you, you more than one thing. See, God brought us, a lot of us, off the street when we just had one demon in us. And I thank God that he didn't leave me out there to get more than one demon in me. See, God brought a lot of us in here before the other demons got a hold of you. See, some of you just had a little alcohol problem. He brought you in then. But you had alcohol, drugs, and something else going on with you. You'd have been tore up like this man was tore up. This man, he was out of his mind. This man was cutting himself all up. This man was even homeless. He didn't have no money. He was walking around totally naked.
Jesus.
Ain't you glad that God brought you in before them demons like that got a hold of you? Luke chapter 8, I'm telling you, church, that word falls on good ground. When it fell on good ground, it fell on that good ground right there. Because when that man got healed, guess what he did? He clinged to Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, "No, you go tell folks what the Lord has done for you." Now, imagine this now. Imagine this. Somebody off the street, butt naked, been all this and cutting himself up, all of a sudden coming to you and tell you, "I've been called to preach."
Well,
it can happen. It happened right here. That's why scripture tells us to judge what? Judge not. And then when we go somewhere, it tells us not to sit in judgment.
That's right.
Because we don't know who and who God has really called.
That's right.
Only that person and God knows what's going on in their life. So keep your thoughts and your comments to yourself, because on that last day, you will be judged by what? All that you have said and done. I don't know where that comes from, but right here, this man, he went to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would command them not to go out into the deep. Now, the deep is hell. And he's going to send them out there. And then 32 says, and there and herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. See, some people use this scripture to say that's why they don't eat pork.
That's right.
But you better give me some pork chop and collard greens, some fat back. I'm going to eat it. And then he said, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Uh-huh. Now, the scripture says many devils. Mm-hmm. It don't say demons.
No.
More than one devil.
Mm-hmm.
It says many devils.
Now,
let me tell you something. You scared because that one person done made you mad. You don't go where you should go. You don't come to church like you should. You don't visit like you should because that one devil. You don't go see your family member because one devil over there making you mad. You take the long way around somewhere because you want to miss that one devil that get on your nerves when you walk by. You don't go do what God tells you to do because that one devil. One devil. But scripture says here, this man had many devils in him. So if God can handle many devils, then I need to pray for him to handle that one devil that's getting on my nerves every time I see them. So you see what I'm saying here this morning, church? You better start praying to God about that one devil and tell that one devil you better get thee behind me. Because the God I serve can kick many devils, and you ain't but one devil, and you ain't going to stop me from doing what God has me to do. See, you got to stay excited about the word of God, church. Because you let anything come to you, it's going to bring doubt in your mind.
Right.
And see, when you start praying and you got that little bit of doubt, it ain't going to happen. You got to have totally faith and totally control of your life and your prayers. Keep on praying and be excited. Just stay excited. You know, if you just stay excited all the time, you know, when you can't pay your bills, stay excited. When you ain't got no money in the bank, stay excited. You know, when you ain't got that job that you want, stay excited. You know, when you got pains in your body, stay excited. Because God will do exactly what you want him to do. But guess what? You got to do some things too now. It ain't going to come like right away. But you got to be already have that relationship with God. You know, then I also like the rest of this chapter. It goes on to this next miracle that Jesus does. This man comes to Jesus. And he has a child sick, and can't wake the child up. Child dead. Jesus said, I'll be on my way. And so Jesus started going his way, and as he's going his way to this man's house, there's a woman out there in the same crowd. She ain't got no business out there in that crowd because of her situation. Y'all know her situation. And back then, you know, you had to go somewhere for 8 days during those after that situation.
Right.
But this woman was out there in the crowd. You know, she had to get to Jesus. She didn't care. She risked her life and limb to get to Jesus.
Right.
She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be made whole more time.
That's right.
She had to spend all her money on these doctors. She had to probably went this place and that place trying to get healed. She probably went to all these other people trying to get healed and this and that. But this woman went out in the crowd. And Jesus was out there in the crowd, you know. Now, I got to ask this question to the scripture sometime. You know, how does she know who Jesus was when the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't even know who Jesus was?
That's right.
Look at God. God will cloak you from your enemies when you out doing his work. See what I'm saying? You walk right by your enemies, they don't even know you exist. They didn't know who he was. See what I'm saying? So you got this woman in the crowd. She touched him.
Yes, sir.
Touched him. His garment. Mm-hmm. Didn't touch his body. Mm-hmm. Touched his garment.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus immediately said, "Who touched me?
Yes, sir.
Who touched me?
Yes, sir.
Who touched me?
All right.
Who touched me?
Jesus.
His homeboys walking around all 12 said, man, we got a crowd of folks out here. You know, somebody in this crowd done touch you. And the crowd of, and Jesus said, no, somebody touched me that's got faith. Somebody touched me again, and some vigor ran out of me, some power ran out of me. Somebody touched me with faith on their mind. Somebody touched me in a way that I ain't been touched by the other folks, but somebody touched me with a need. You know, who touched me with that need? And the woman was far away, hiding, trembling. But she had got her healing. She had got her healing. She said, I touch you, Lord. And he said, go. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I tell you that story right there because, see, that right there goes along also with good ground. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard that he was going to be walking through that. See, when you hear something good and hear about Jesus, no matter what it takes, life or limb, you're going to go after him. See, we done got to the place right now where we don't even stand up for Jesus no more. You know, we are allowing stuff to go on in churches. We're allowing stuff to go on in schools. We're allowing stuff to go on at home. And we're supposed to be on God's side. But see, if it costs you life or limb, you're still supposed to stand up for Jesus because guess what? He's going to make you whole in the end. He's going to remember that he told you that, you know, I told you to go down there and stop that homosexuality. I told you to whoop Johnny that morning when he did that, but you didn't whoop him. Then I said, spare the rod and spoil the child. Yes. But you scared of what the law said, but you won't pop Johnny. Now Johnny going to grow up and be a murderer, which he had. Now you got to be at the jailhouse with Johnny every month. Then you got to send money to the jailhouse to put more on his book so he can keep Leroy off of him. And all you had to do was whoop Johnny when he was little.
That's right.
Now you're keeping money on the books for him. Risking life or limb to do what God says is what God wants us to do. It may not sound right, but see, our way is not God's way. That's Sunday school lesson. You know, God does stuff that we can't understand. His way is way over our way. You know, we might read the Bible sometime and say, that ain't right, that shouldn't be done. But hey, wait a minute, that's God's way, and that's the way God wants to do something. Uh-huh. You know, just like the Israelites back then wanted all the baby boys to be murdered. Now, you got a four-month-old baby. You put that four-month-old baby in that basket, and you put it in the river.
That's right.
Nowadays, they'll get you for what? Child abuse on that. You know, she put that baby in a basket and it was in a river. Then it flowed down the Nile and somebody found it and adopted it. But see, that was God's way of doing something, of getting Moses to the Pharaoh, getting Moses in the house. That was God's way of doing something. So something don't seem right that God wants you to do. But remember, if God told you to do that, you better do it. No matter how it sounds or how it looks to somebody else. Don't worry about what other folks think sometimes. And then you go on in the scripture of Luke chapter 8, and you keep on going in Luke chapter 8. Then Jesus finally gets to the house. When he gets to the house, he sees these people now. Everybody's crying. They weeping. Then they laugh at Jesus. Can you imagine laughing at your Savior? They laughed at him. You have showed up too late. That child dead. They laughed at him. They laughing at you. When you tell them that you're going to be something and do something and God is with you and God has told you that you're going to be at this elevation sometime in the future and God has told you you're going to be healed. God has told you that cancer is not going to kill you. God has told you that man that you married to going to start treating you right. God has told you that child that's being bad is going to be right again. They stand there laughing at you. But see, God told you that. But see, when God walked in this house, they laughed at him also. The child was already dead. That baby dead. That girl dead. But God, he walked right on in there. He took his boys in there. He didn't take them all in there. He took his boys in there. He took three disciples in there. Took the mom and daddies in there. Closed the door. Told the child to rise. The child arose. Then he told the parents, don't tell no. Well, he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. The child got up. Then when the child got up, he said, give us something to eat. Then he walked on out of there. Did they laugh then? No, they didn't laugh then. They were wondering what happened. How did this man, who was this man? Now, first here, we started with chapter 8. He did the sower of the seeds. Then he went through that whole chapter doing miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. That whole chapter is all about that. And see, that chapter, you start with that sowing of the seeds. That seed fell on good ground. It fell on rocks. It fell in thorns. Are you good ground, rock, or thorns? See, if you remember this chapter 8 right here, you got to be good ground, church. Because if you're going through something and you start remembering that, you start listening to what it says. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. that's the trick right there. With patience. Patience. We got to slow down, not try to rush God in our time. We got to be patient and wait on the Lord, because he will provide what you need. He will do exactly what you want him to do. With patience, he may have healed all these people right here instantly, but it might take a little time for him to get over to you. Yeah. With patience, if you just wait patiently on the Lord. The scripture says, I waited patiently on the Lord. Because, you know, if you go out here unprepared, unsupplied, on your own, you're going to just fail. But if you go out here and wait patiently, like somebody said this morning, it may take 40 years for you to get what you need, but it's going to happen. It might take a lifetime, but all of a sudden it's going to happen. But you got to wait patiently on the Lord. And see, you got to get excited about that, because that's how God works with each and every one of us. Patiently. Long as we wait patiently on the Lord, everything's going to be all right, church. And then you just keep that excitement as you go through the day, like Abraham did. You know, God told me and Sarah, we're going to have a baby. And they had that baby at the age of 90-some years old. They had to be patiently on the God, you know, like he did with Noah. You know, God said it's going to rain, and then it took 100 years to rain. But Noah had that ark built because he waited what? Patiently on the Lord. Long as we wait patiently on the Lord and keep that word in our heart, hey, it's going to be all right, church. All we got to do is wait patiently on the Lord. And remember, we are good ground. Good ground. I'm not in the thorns. I'm not a rock. I'm not by the wayside. I consider myself good ground. And we all here should be considered good ground, because we are waiting what? Patiently on the Lord, church. He might not have got what you want right now. He might not have promised you what he has. He may not have given you what he has promised you yet. But if you just wait patiently on him, it's going to happen in due time, church. Remember the scripture in Luke 8:15. But that on good ground are they which had honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring it forth fruit with patience. Stay excited about the word of God, church. Stay excited. Remember, stay excited and stay a believer, too, also. See, being excited and being a believer and walking by faith and not by sight, it's what we have to do. And we have to be patient with God. Why? Because he's patient with us. Amen?
Amen. All right.